Welcome to the Teach and Tell podcast. I'm your host, Mike Raymer, Executive Director of the Georgia Council on Economic Education, an organization whose mission is to help teachers teach economics and personal finance. Come along as we spend time with some great teachers to learn more about what it's really like in the classroom. Today's guest is Vanessa Ellis of Muskogee County. Vanessa, how are you? And tell us what you're up to. Where do you teach? What are you doing? What are you doing these days?
Hello, Mike. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. Again, my name is Vanessa Ellis. I'm an instructional coach at Double Churches Middle School in Muskogee County. And I am the 2024 Georgia Teacher of the Year runner-up. So
yes.
It has been it's been a very exciting year, getting to do a lot of work across the state. So yeah, things have been really well. How are you?
That's awesome. And I've known you for a few years now, going back to a workshop I did in Columbus a few years ago. And I've had the pleasure of being in your classroom, and you are an outstanding teacher. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
Oh, shucks. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. So how long have you been in education?
So this is my 13th year in education, 12 years as a social studies teacher in middle grades. And this is my first year as an instructional coach.
How is that going well so far?
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. I'm already one of those curriculum and instruction geeks. So now that I get to amplify that and work with teachers all across our building, it's the best part of the job is working with teachers and loving on them and supporting them. It's been awesome.
So you're a social studies person. What subject area do you find yourself liking the most in your new role? You're like, oh, I didn't know I liked this. Like, what do you got?
Okay, so I am really drawn to our connections or our specials classes. Mm-hmm. So I have the most fun when I'm in the gym, and not just because it's the gym, but actually learning the games and the techniques and all of that. And when I go to visit, I'll often like play alongside the kids, which is a great way to get to know the students and then also show the teachers that, you know, I'm not some big bad guy coming from the main office to observe them or criticize them, but rather, you know, I'm there to support. So also art and music. I was a band person from fifth grade until 12th grade. And so like being back in a band room and listening to sectionals and different parts of music, connections has been so fun. I just didn't realize how much you miss those kind of things. So yeah.
Do you find yourself picking up an instrument and be like, I'm going to play this thing right now?
No, but while I think I have such more of an appreciation of their teaching strategies because I was a band student. So our band teacher is only in her second year of her career and she's doing such a bang up job. But I told her, if you ever need an extra person on the flute or the piccolo for a concert, I'm your girl.
Nice. And I'm sure the kids would love that. Like, just see you up on stage, that'd be fantastic. Are you practicing at home?
Gosh, I haven't picked up a flute in a while, but you know, it's like riding a bike or driving a car. You don't forget those things.
Yeah.
I could pick up a flute. I mean, I probably sound a little rusty, but in terms of the notes and reading the music, that's something I won't ever forget.
I would have one in my back pocket every time I walk by her room. I'd be like, hey, I'm ready. Call me up. All right.
What I need to do.
Yes. So, Vanessa, what do you find rewarding about being a teacher?
So, this is my 13th year in education, and I've been a classroom teacher, now I'm an instructional coach, and although my role has kind of evolved, something that remains constant is just the capacity to be able to reach people and let them know that they can do anything that they set their mind to. And so as a classroom teacher, that's so powerful because I've taught students from all walks of life, poor students, affluent students, students who are brand new to this country and don't speak the language, students with learning exceptionalities, behavior issues, kids who can't read, kids who can read on a college level. And so they all come to me and I'm tasked with teaching them. And it's just so cool to watch the kids who struggle be able to rise to the standard, and those students who do well in school still manage to challenge them and show them that you can still learn and grow, even though you're on grade level, you've met standards. And as an instructional coach, it's kind of the same thing. You go into classrooms, you work with teachers, and although they are amazing and awesome at what they're doing, showing them how they can grow and get better. And doing that in a way that shows love, that is kind, that is affirming. And so I think that's the most rewarding part, just watching people grow and be amazing at what they do.
Nice. And that part about helping teachers grow, that's one of the cool things about teaching is that there's always something that, oh, I got to try that. And like every day almost, it's like a renewal every time you walk into that building, if you're open to it, which, yeah, that's the key.
Yes. And what's really cool as a coach is we have to do PLCs and you have these meetings. And it's kind of like as a classroom teacher, you don't always know if things are transferring or if it's of any interest sometimes. But I had a teacher the other day. She was like, Miss Ellis, I tried this strategy and she was so excited about it. The students were getting results from it. And I'm just like dying inside because I'm like, yay, they like
Nice.
me. They really like me.
That's great. Awesome. Can you think of any, I'm sure you can think of a few maybe, or a couple at least. What are some challenges that you associate with the education and being a teacher?
Man, all right, so that's a question. There are plenty of challenges in education. We all know that. But I think something that has a big effect, but also has a kind of easy fix or relatively easy fix is time. So more and more teachers are being asked to do things, and a lot of it is, to improve instruction. But at the end of the day, if you're a middle grades educator, you teach five classes a day and you have 1 hour for planning, and that's it. And if your planning period is taken away from you for, I don't know, a meeting, or if you have to cover a class because there's a sub shortage, that time has been robbed of you and you have to find other pockets of time to do the grading, to plan lessons, to collaborate with your peers, all of that. And so time is such an issue. And I think if we relook at our bell schedules and district schedules to give teachers more time to do what we're being asked to do, which we know are good things for teaching and learning, we just have to have the time to implement it. So, like, I remember in my district during the pandemic, each quarter we had these early release days in addition to our professional development days. And so, having a half day to just plan and grade and work with other teachers on developing projects, that's so meaningful and helpful for a professional development of a teacher. And also think about the kids. So students in middle school have what, 45, 50-minute classes, and we operate on this archaic bell schedule. So kids who are struggling, if they don't get what they need in that class period, they just kind of move on. And so really looking at bell schedules to see who needs what, how can we find pockets of time to support our students and their learning and their development as well. So time is the issue, and I think we can rethink time with our administration and with our district as well.
What time does your school start in the morning?
So we actually had a flip-flop in Muskogee County. They did a lot of research and they now make our high schools start later and our middle schools start earlier. So for us, kids arrive around 7:40 and school starts at 8:10.
Okay, because that I
And
knew
we
that was always a challenge. This I taught the high school kids, and to get them rolling at 8 o'clock was like, oh, they were sleeping 2 minutes ago. That's always interesting. I just visited a school this week where they started early, man. 8 o'clock class was going, and I was like, whew, this is early. High school just saw a lot of sleepy
Yeah,
kids.
it was a hard change in Muskogee County because of things like sports or
Yeah.
high school students who work,
Work,
like
yep.
getting out later. But my husband teaches on a high school schedule. He teaches 6 through 12 at a fine arts school, but he said the later start does help with just getting them in the door and more energized and ready to learn than they when it was like at 7
Yeah,
or
I'm a
whatever
morning
time.
person. So I get up crazy early and I love it, but it wasn't always a match for my first period kids. So I had more energy than they did. Yeah. So can you think of on a positive note, what's your like single favorite teaching memory from your career, if you can nail it down to one?
Oh man, I've had an exciting 12 year going into my 13th career. So that's a tough question. But I think the year that I got to teach my own son when I was a sixth grade teacher, that was a really special year because my son is like ADHD to the max. And he struggled in elementary school really, really badly. And so lots of parent phone calls, lots of meetings. Grades were always fine. He's very bright, but it was the behavior piece. And so when he came to my school in sixth grade and I worked it out with my administration to be able to teach him, it was a really cool experience because I got to work with him on his behavior as a mom and as a teacher. And I also got to see the wonderful things that he was doing as a student because that was not always communicated to me when he was in elementary school. So I would be like, okay, he's doing this. This is how we can fix it. But also look at how brilliant he is and how funny he is. And that should be something that's celebrated as well. So teaching my own son with all of his behavior issues also made me a better teacher because I was like, if I can find ways to reach him and to work with his behavior issues, I can work with any student who also struggles with ADHD. And then also related to that, that same year that I taught my son was the year that I won Georgia Economics Teacher of the Year.
Yes.
So he got to be with me on that journey when the council came in and observed my class. And when I was named a Teacher of the Year, the celebration, he came with me to the luncheon. So it was a very special year all around.
Yeah, I remember being there filming for We Make a Video for that. And I remember meeting your son. I'm like, oh, that's your son. Awesome.
Yeah, it's my baby.
And it must have been a cool experience for him to see you in a different light. Like, here's my mom, but she's also this amazing educator. Like,
he is my number one cheerleader. So, you know, even with all the accolades, all of that stuff is nice. But the fact that he can still quote lessons that we did when he was in sixth grade, or I do raps and songs, and he still knows all the lyrics. And he brags on me to all of his friends. I'm like, Miss Ellis is your mom. And that's like a source of pride for him. So it really deepened our relationship personally, as well as academically and behaviorally.
So your raps and songs that you mentioned a second ago, when we first met, like that was the first thing that made you stick out in my mind because you shared those. Like, those are cool, man. I got to keep an eye on this teacher. She's doing great stuff. So I remember those. And it was, I mean, this must have been in like 2008 or nine. I mean, it was a long time ago or yeah. 10. I don't know. So cool. Awesome. And the next question I want to ask you is about your last period of teaching. This kind of just happened to you because like last, I guess, so you started this new job in August, I assume.
Yep.
All right. So last May, it was your last day. What did you go out doing on your last day?
Oh, man. So we mentioned the raps and the songs and things like that. So that's the final thing that we did in my classroom. We took all the songs that we learned all year. I have about 7 or 8. I alternate my units because I don't want to have to sing and rap every unit. And so the students, we just made a playlist of the instrumentals and we went through and the students and I just sung our hearts out for every single song. It was such an awesome way to go out. And it was very emotional as well because the passion and the excitement that the kids have when they sing, but also how that's going to transfer with them when they go to high school and they're going to remember that content. I have teachers all the time, like, they'll be taking 12th grade economics and they'll still know all of the economic systems and the trade barriers and all of that. And they'll be like, who was your middle school teacher?
Yes.
And it's Miss Ellis. And yeah. So it was such a special last day being able to sing my heart out with my kiddos.
That's a great way to go out. maybe when I retire, I don't sing or rap, but I'll come up with something positive like that on my last day as I'm walking to my car.
Ooh, maybe I'll make a rap or a song for you, Mike. And just,
that'd be like, awesome. Four more years
for you.
You got 4 years to do it. Yes. We've been asking teachers on this podcast to talk about or share some kind of resource that they think will be helpful to other teachers in some way, shape, or form. And as an instructional coach, I imagine this is what you do. So mm-hmm. What, you know, imagine it's a first, second, third, fourth year teacher who's needs a little help. What kind of strategy or resource can you share that might help them be better teachers?
Oh, man, that's a great question. And also in this role, I've learned so much just from my colleagues. Like when I go into their classrooms and see the very innovative things, or even the small things that they do to help with learning and retention, or to reduce a behavior that they don't want in their classroom. But I think a helpful resource that all teachers, new, middle career, and old, should be familiar with is this Grow Beyond Grades Educator Network. So I know this sounds a little radical, but I am an ungrader. So I know that grades are a part of our fabric in education, but grades often erode real learning. Students learn that it becomes this points game and they can just, you know, find ways to get extra credit or find the easiest way to complete an assignment. And so I would say around year 8 or 9, I just became very frustrated with grades and the point grabbing from students. And what started as a frustration over that led to this Grow Beyond Grades Educator Network. And I started to learn what other teachers were doing to de-emphasize grades and focus on real learning. And so through this network, I've learned about things like self-reporting grades, students co-creating their rubrics so that they know what's important to highlight in an assignment, things like redos and retries, and things that really focus on learning as opposed to like deadlines and other arbitrary measures that we tend to put on learning. And so I think the earlier that teachers can think about that, their grading practices, their assessment practices, even their penalties and the constraints they put on students, rethinking all of that will be so powerful in terms of real deep learning.
Because that's the key, the learning, right? I mean, I've heard this similar kind of comments from several teachers that I've talked to for the podcast, is that we're there to learn. Like, that's the ultimate bottom line. So how do we get there? That's, you know, that's the key. So great advice. Thank you. Glad you shared that.
You're welcome.
Yes. Final question. And this is going to happen. So eventually, movie maker's going to come knocking on your door and be like, we're making a movie about you and your amazing career in the classroom. Who's playing Vanessa Ellis when it hits the big screen?
What? Okay. Let's see. I think Taraji P. Henson would be a good representation of me. And for those of you who don't know her, she was in Hidden Figures, most recently in The Color Purple, the musical adaptation that they brought to film. And then she had a really good run on the show called Empire. But what I love about Taraji is she is funny. She is super, super talented, and she can sing. So if she was going to like represent my classroom strategies, like, she would be up there rapping and singing and could do it 10 times better than I could, I think.
Perfect. And I'll pay to go see this, by the way.
Okay, we'll go to the premiere together.
I'm in. We'll have it up here in Atlanta. Hopefully they'll shoot in Atlanta as well.
Exactly.
That's good. Awesome. So Vanessa, I want to thank you for being on the podcast, and more importantly, for being an amazing teacher, an amazing educator, and doing great things for teachers in Muskogee County. I'm glad you agreed to do this, because eventually you're going to be so big and famous that you won't have time for something like the Georgia Council's Teach and Tell podcast.
So, oh, stop it.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Mike.
I'm sorry. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to catch up with the council. And thank you guys for what you do for the educators of this state. I mean this sincerely. Part of my success in the classroom is due to meeting the council and taking the workshops and having those experiences where I got to go on site and see economics in real life. And so just thank you for everything you pour into teachers as well. It's amazing.
Oh, our pleasure. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Teach and Tell podcast. Help us spread the word and promote great teachers by giving us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm Mike Raymer, and I'm here to remind you that econ is life.